There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's time to kick off.
20, he will score!
Tip off.
Way downtown, bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
For the Memorial Day fans out there, it's the Sunday of Memorial Day, of course, so this is sort of like the Saturday. Got a day off tomorrow, at least most people do. So people are sort of treating this as the midpoint of a three-day weekend. You almost forget how good a three-day weekend is, and maybe it should be a little bit more standard or a little bit more practiced because it's just more time. It's nice. Nice. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. It's Colin Russo, Kate Jumsen with you on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. We're from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on May the 25th, 2025. On your radio dial at ESPN 106.3. Also streaming live. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. Next hour with us is we got a lot to talk about. This is the ultimate sports day. You got a little bit of everything. Outside of football, you basically have anything you want. This whole weekend and this day specifically, you have basketball, you have hockey, you have collegiate baseball in the conference tournaments. You got softball now getting into the thick of it. I found myself watching Georgia-Florida yesterday, and I'll tell you, those softball players, 144 pitches at
one
point.
What a series.
Oh, my goodness.
What a series. That was a good one, too.
144 pitches. I'm like, geez, you don't have to worry about elbow issues, I guess, in softball. And then you got the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup. You got a lot to look forward to. Plus, with the MLB in a perfect weekend, Memorial Day sort of signifies a little bit of baseball time. So every sports fan has got a little bit of anything. But because of that, you can go get started on Hard Rock Bet and sprinkle some action on these games. Go download the app today on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started today. Because Hard Rock, if you're the experienced player and you want to utilize promos, if you want to utilize profit boosts, if you want to utilize games that they have like Battle of the Bets, or check out the Discover page and you could put together an intricate parlay, you could do all this on the app. It's very easy. The interface is very simply laid out so the newer player can understand what's going on as well. And if you want to put together your own parlay, do that. If you don't want to do that and you just want to tail along in somebody else, you could tap and tag along on another one over on the Discover page. It's that easy. The best part is you get $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't even hit. So that first bet can be a parlay, a prop, the over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. Win that first bet, I get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. So I guess my takeaway here is the conference finals, let's start in the NBA, Cade. It hasn't been as interesting. The Knicks-Pacers series is good. Does it help the series that the Pacers are up 2-0? No. But the games themselves have been good.
Yep.
And now the T-Wolves finally carved back into the series a little bit against OKC, and it's a 2-1 series lead there. The conference final hasn't been nearly as good as the second round because you had the Nuggets series, which was very interesting. The Warriors series wasn't that good, but you had the Knicks-Celtics too. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the period where the better team has won the first two games, and then you could almost script this. And then the third game is where, they finally claw back a little bit, the team that's down 2-0, and then all of a sudden the other team will start to close them out after that. That's just my takeaway, because if you watch that T-Wolves Thunder game last night, it was never, ever a game. And it just goes to show that similar to what, the Nuggets always do, similar to, Boston has games like this, there are games that certain teams care about more than others, and once you sort of fall into that routine, you could almost tell what's going to happen. Are the Knicks going to play very hard today? I'd hope so. But the Pacers are a different beast. I could see the Pacers closing them out in 4 or 5 games.
Easy.
But with the Thunder series, that game last night was the Thunder kind of knew that Minnesota was going to come out and punch them in the mouth. And because of that, the game wasn't interesting. And the game wasn't good. It almost acts at a detriment when these teams care more about certain games more than others, right? It's like that Nuggets series against the Thunder was a prime example of this. The Nuggets come out and steal game one. They already won one of the two on the road. That's the goal of any road team in the postseason. Then game two, they lose by about 45 points. Because they didn't, you know, they got their rest. Jokic didn't even play the fourth quarter. It's one of those games. And then you go back and forth, and then it's all about splitting again. And then you keep going. It, to me, and you know, the Nuggets won that game three, and then game four was a grinded out game. It's just, it shouldn't be like this, but it almost is, Kate.
I am almost to the point where I'm getting as frustrated with NBA teams slacking off of one or two of their games in their postseason series as I am NFL teams tanking at the end of the regular season for better draft picks. I know I'm in the minority in this conversation, but I hate when teams purposely let off the gas pedal for any reason. You're a winner. Go out and win.
It's like they expect. They don't want to give out because a lot of this is about rest at this point in the season. You know, you're in game 100, but it sounds like, you know, hey, like, we don't need game three. You know, if you're the Thunder up 2-0, we don't need game three. Is it better off that we give our all, try to win, go up 3-0 and close this out earlier? Or, hey, we don't need to get everybody, you know, beaten up, broken down a little bit. It's one of those games where it's over at halftime and
over at halftime, duh, but why didn't you come out swinging? Why didn't you? This team for the Thunder, to me, in the first three games, has looked by far better than the Timberwolves.
Top to bottom better.
Why not take advantage of that? Why not go and sweep this team and then rest after that and get ready for what's going to be probably a ridiculously good NBA Finals? Because I think whoever the Thunder play, whether it's the Pacers or the Knicks, it's going to be a battle because both of those other teams know how to play defense ridiculously well. Not as good as the Timberwolves. Although they showed it out last night, but I also think Shea was basically just not wanting to do anything.
Yeah, 14 points.
But if you're the Thunder, why not go make a statement? Why not go actually beat up on a team that you know you're better than? They literally, purposefully, from the beginning of the game, wanted to play slower. And then afterwards, they were like, yeah, no duh that the Timberwolves came out.
But again, hope they play hard.
Right? Like, this is...
Well, we have some audio.
Yeah, let's go to Shea.
This is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander after game three last night, who had a 14-point game. He was terrible. And the Thunder rolled over and died before, you know, they even had a chance to punch back. And this is what he had to say post-game about, you know, the T-Wolves playing very, very hard in game three.
Just didn't bring it from an energy and focus standpoint. We, to sum it up, we just didn't have it. They obviously had it with the sense of urgency, knowing like if they go down 3-0, it's going to be pretty tough. And we just, what it felt like, just eased into the game, and they didn't, and they blitzed us pretty early. And then we were never able to get back because of it. But they just came out with a sense of urgency, and we didn't. And on top of that, when you play a really good team, it looks like that. So we got to start, come out with a sense of urgency, and then see where the game lays.
No duh, Shea. What in the world was that? Like, yeah, when we don't play hard, we lose. Your youth basketball league knew that, Colin.
He said the key word I heard him say there was sense of urgency. And there's a heightened sense of urgency. Yes, obviously, you don't want to fall down 3-0. But one thing I give the Indiana Pacers a lot of credit in is they don't necessarily see it like this. The Indiana Pacers were the road team against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They steal game one, or they beat them in game one. And then in game two was the game that they could have rolled over and died and just, you know, punted till game three when they're in their building. And they did the same thing in game two against the Knicks on a Friday night. They could have punted. Now, you know, we flipped home court. That's all we came to do. But to the Pacers' credit, they came at them again in game two against the Knicks. And the Cavs series was the game two where they came back from down 8 with a minute to go to win the game with Tyrese Halliburton on the game-winning three. To their credit, they have a constant sense of urgency. And that's why Carlisle, I think, is a great coach. That is, to me, a little bit more representative of a champion. But, I mean...
And if you're worried about tonight's game in Indiana, when they're already up 2-0, about them rolling over and wanting to take a break... Don't get it twisted.
The Knicks might beat them, but the Pacers are going to play hard.
Oh, the Pacers are going to play hard Because when you look at that Cavs series, the Cavs came out and beat the Pacers in game three. I don't think the Pacers were necessarily rolling over and letting them have it, but they definitely relaxed and put their foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
Right.
This is Halliburton. We'll go to another piece of audio right here. This is Halliburton Saturday night after game two, taking both games in the Garden. He's talking with the crew at TNT, and they ask him, hey, this has already happened to you guys once. Is this conversation going around on what this game three is going to be like? This is Halliburton's response.
Yeah, I think that's the main conversation right now. You know, I think you come in here, you steal two, which is a great thing. But you can't relax when you get home. And I feel like last series we did that. So I thought we had a great conversation there after the game about it. We got to lock in and take care of game three.
This is the conference finals. We're talking about the two best teams in the NBA Eastern Conference. Why would you want to let off the gas pedal?
And to his credit, he mentioned the Cavs series where they got blown out, where they lost by like 20 in game three in their building.
Yes.
And then he thought that this series was going to flip, including Mike Rizzo, who's a big Cav fan. And then all of a sudden they closed them out in game four. So they learned from this, and this is going to be a recurring theme now. Yeah.
But why would the Thunder want... The Thunder literally saw what happened to the Pacers. Now, granted, the Pacers went on to win the next two. But why would you want to let a team who we know is very, very good...
Just get momentum. Well, yeah, why give them momentum?
Yeah. Why would you want them to have, especially in their own building, like the Pacers led off of game three in their own building and they were able to come back in game four. You're about to go into game four if you're the Thunder in Minnesota, which by the way, ever since Anthony Edwards got there, that fan base has turned around significantly in that home building. It gets loud in
Minnesota's
there nowadays.
Minnesota's got good fans.
They do. So why on earth would you let yourselves get beat by over 30 points just to come around in game four and have to go back to the Thunder, go back to Oklahoma City, trying to go up 3-1, but now it's going to be harder than ever.
See, the goal, what you're alluding to, is if you're the OKC Thunder, you want to avoid having pressure in a game for the entire series. You want to avoid being pressured to win a game. Now, all of a sudden, game four is important, and you have to win game four. If you lose and it's 2-2, then it's a tricky spot. Because then that Minnesota's got all the momentum, and I know OKC is a very hard building to win in, but that's a tricky spot. So there's a little bit of pressure for OKC. If they want this to go seven, fine, I'll take it. I'm happy about that. But now you got to win game four. And am I going to root for Minnesota to win game four? Absolutely. I don't even want to see the Thunder. And Minnesota has not played terribly well at all. Thunder's defense have given them a lot of problems. But one thing I like about Minnesota is I think they got a good coach. I think Chris Finch is a good coach. And part of me thinks that they're going to get better as the series goes along. Once they sort of learn the kinks of that defense, that Thunder defense, I think that's the better and better they're going to get.
You definitely know they're going to put some experience from last year, too. I mean, Dallas came out there. And you could definitely see the fatigue from Minnesota after going blow for blow with Denver in the previous series.
And Minnesota has a bad tendency, and you saw it against the Warriors a little bit, is they have a tendency to sort of play down to their opponents.
Yes.
They're much better as a spoiler than they are as a
100%.
Put the pressure on them to win.
Yep.
Now they're the spoiler again. I don't know how much of stock I am putting, because I don't know. I really don't think Minnesota can win three more. Of the next four games.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be able to do that. But they are dangerous in the sense that when they play like they got nothing to lose, they're so much better.
Yeah, don't give them any momentum.
They're playing like they got nothing to lose now. They go down 2-0. They sort of get smacked around. Now, all of a sudden, not the pressure, but now it's just like we could kind of go guns blazing.
Yep.
That's favor Minnesota. And OKC, to their credit, I was wondering going into the postseason how this team is going to react to having a little pressure on them. And you saw that against Denver.
Yes.
2-1 series lead, 1-0 series lead. And they responded excellently in game two and four. You know, game four, the two, they hit everything. They scored 150 points. They did what Minnesota did last night. And then game four was as grinded out of a game as you could possibly imagine when nobody could hit a shot. And they were able to grind it out two different ways. So because of that, and that was in Denver's building. So OKC, I'm not necessarily on the side that this team's going to crumble under some pressure.
No.
I don't buy that anymore. They showed you that they can handle it. But Minnesota is excellent at being a spoiler. They did it against the LA Lakers. now all of a sudden, with all the pressure out the window, is this series going to change a little bit? And the problem is, I can't get a read because OKC rolled over and died. They didn't even punch back.
No, it's not like it was a close game and Minnesota happened to win.
34-14 at the end of the first quarter. Yeah. Minnesota outscored them in every quarter. So you don't really have a sense of how OKC responded to that because you haven't really had a back-and-forth game this entire postseason, this entire series with them.
Nope.
The Pacers series on the other end, which is, of course, game three, is tonight, 8 p.m., which has been a great series because both games have been very good. That has been a game of who's going to be the closer. Who's the closer? Who can close a game? It's funny because we're all under the impression that New York was the ultimate closing team. That's why Boston really struggled once New York rumbled back into games. They had Brunson who could close games. Towns had moments. Mikal Bridges made huge plays. And then we're all like, okay, well, New York is the team that you would rather have in the fourth quarter. And then they play Indiana. And it's like the middle brother, you know, smacking around the littlest brother, the youngest in the family. And then older brother comes home from college, and he smacks around middle brother. You know, it's like the power dynamic of closers. And that's what Indiana is. Indiana is such a good closing team that it almost makes New York look not clutch. And we know New York is clutch. But that's how clutch Indiana is. Now in their building, the line is -1.5 tonight, bound 2. I don't know where I lean. We'll have to make the pick later on in the program when we blitz the book. But that New York-Indiana series, is there? Let me ask this too. Is there no better karma for New York fans? Naming streets after players, doing a parade on 7th Avenue, acting like, you know, we cured cancer on the streets in New York City after beating Boston in the second round of the postseason, and then they dropped 2 at MSG to open up this series. Could you think of a more New York sports moment than that?
Against the Pacers with Halliburton giving the choke sign in game one.
And not only as bad of a blown game as the NBA has seen in years.
It's like the Scorsese meme. Cinema. You've seen the one, the black
yes.
and white one?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he's masterclass? Yeah, yep. Absolutely. That's the New York fan who's sitting there, and I know a lot of New York fans, and they were all writing home about going to the NBA Finals, and it's going to be them versus OKC, and Indiana has quietly kept their composure, and the reason they've slipped under the radar is because they haven't played an urgent game all postseason. They haven't had a must-win game. They've won the games they should, and that's why they've won in 5 twice, and that's why they've slipped under the radar. Other teams pick and choose their moments. The Nuggets, now you're noticing the Thunder, they pick and choose what games to play really hard. The Pacers play every game hard, and that's why they've slipped under the radar, and now New York has a major, major problem on its hands. New York might lose that series in 5. And the thing is, they're not that much worse than the Pacers. They're really not.
No, roster for roster, they're equally, if not better than the Pacers.
And they're playing fine. Like, they're playing good. But the Pacers know how to close a game. And that experience and that clutchness will sort of be like what Boston did to Indiana last year in the conference final. It looks like you might have what Indiana does to the Knicks this postseason. If you remember last year, the Pacers played the Celtics in the conference final. They lost in 4. And they lost 3 of the games by a combined like 7 points. They were right in it. But it was a matter of closing games.
Does this not remind you, real quick, does this not remind you of the NFL playoffs from this season? Where you have the Chiefs, who are clutch in every game they needed to be, but they never knew how to actually beat down on a team. What were they, 12-1 in one score games?
Yes.
And the Eagles kind of just almost breezed their way through the postseason, actually got better through the postseason. And when finally those two forces collided, it was all Eagles.
Right.
Now, the Pacers haven't necessarily beat down on the Knicks.
And it's not like the if you're going to compare it to like this and the Thunder, it's not like the Eagles were substantially better than the Chiefs.
True that.
Like, if they played 10 times, they'd probably win 8. But I don't know if I see that about the Pacers, but how they play. is sort of what you're alluding to.
Yes.
How they play. They don't give anybody breathing room.
Nope.
You give people breathing room. You try to win emphatically. You try to win dramatically. All of a sudden, you might get burned one of these days. That's Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. On the flip side of things, we're getting Memorial Day. We got a little bit of everything to touch on. Little Memorial Day traditions. We'll talk about that. Talk about what we're to expect on the outside of the NBA. The Florida Panthers, 3-0 series lead on the Carolina Hurricanes. They got game four tomorrow in Sunrise. I'll be there. I'm excited for it. But it looks like they're going to be closing that one out in four. Winner gets to play Edmonton and Dallas, which looks to be a classic of a series on our hands. We'll get into a whole lot more on the flip side of things. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Go scatter to west, right, tight. F left. 372 Y-Stick Z-Spot.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Well, if you've been in a car accident, truck accident, a bike accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're the type to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation today. That's 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Kate, are you a big Memorial Day weekend guy?
I will celebrate it for sure. I'm not doing anything in particular this year, but I've celebrated Memorial Day for sure.
It's South Florida. It is 90 degrees with, you know, 85% humidity.
It sure don't feel like Memorial Day.
Where I'm from, and I grew up in the Northeast. We talked about this a little over the week. The thing about Memorial Day that's interesting is it's everywhere else in the continental United States, it's really viewed as like the kickstart of summer.
Yes.
This is sort of the starting line. In Florida, it almost feels like the kickstart of winter in most spots, because it's just like summer season is not necessarily the season that people like in South Florida, because it's just too hot and you got storm season coming about. It doesn't necessarily have the same feel, I hate to say. And I love Memorial Day, and I love the whole background on it for our veterans and the whole thing. I love that. But, you know, it's a barbecue holiday. There's three barbecue holidays in the calendar year. There's Labor Day, there's July 4th, and there's Memorial Day. Doesn't strike me. And this might be the year where I'm not doing much for it. And I'm okay with that. But I just think it's probably lends itself to the location of where I am. I'm not celebrating summer here because it's been 85 degrees for 6 months.
Yes.
You know, like that's just... It feels weird.
You're speaking like a true Floridian. I'm proud of you.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Nope.
When I went to school in Wisconsin, when it was Memorial Day, oh, people are kissing the ground.
Yep.
You don't have that here.
So I told you I celebrate Memorial Day sometimes. When I celebrate Memorial Day, I go travel to other family members in other states. People don't come here for this. And if I'm not, unless I do like a family dinner with maybe another family friend down here, you're not necessarily getting the whole gang together for an outdoor picnic or barbecue like
everybody's going to boil.
Yep.
So like, I don't know. If there is one here, I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen it yet because I just think it's a little too hot. I ran this morning and the humidity was brutal.
Yeah.
You can't even breathe. But... here's the positive. You can, instead of doing the barbecue, you know what? Save the barbecue for February. But instead of that, we got plenty of sports to watch. That's the other part I love about Memorial Day is you got baseball, you got softball, you got college baseball, which I'm going to start to get into now because I like college baseball at this point of the year.
Uh-huh.
And then you got MLB, you got the NBA, and you got the NHL.
Not to mention the Indy 500.
The Indy 500.
And F1 Monaco is actually going on right now as we speak.
So, not a race car guy. Me, never. I'm going to try to get into F1 one of these days. It's just hasn't done a ton for me personally. But the Indy 500 is awesome when that happens.
Every time.
I've never been a race car guy, have you?
I was into NASCAR a bit. I had an uncle who was into NASCAR growing up. So like between the ages of 7 to 10, I was watching NASCAR quite a bit. Daytona, Talladega, and a few other good races.
Right.
Haven't really been into it ever since. I'll follow it. I'll follow the big names. Definitely have never been into the F1 or Indy. I'd love to, like you said, get into that a little bit more. But I was into NASCAR for a time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Back when.
Did you ever jump into the F1 because of the, you know, a lot of people, F1 got a huge push in publicity because of Drive to Survive, the Netflix documentary style series that came out with it, sort of like Full Swing, but for F1, it got a lot of big fans because of that alone.
Yep.
Now there's an F1 movie coming out in June with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And Joseph Kaczynski, who did Top Gun Maverick. I watched it. I went to see Mission Impossible yesterday. I was at the theater and I was in an IMAX theater. So, you know, big screen, loud, the whole thing. Once they played that trailer, I was like, oh, I might have to get an F1.
It looks good.
That movie will get me.
It looks very good.
Into F1 because it was, that was something to behold. And there's something cool about it, but I just never did it for me.
Well, I think Gran Turismo was trying to do that.
And I like that movie. That movie's underrated. You don't like that movie?
I don't think it got the effect like it was trying to do.
Right.
I think it was trying to do what F1 is going to do.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I haven't actually seen it, but I've heard mixed reviews about it. I'll say that. I've heard mixed.
But I trust the guy who did Top Gun Maverick. I trust this, and this is going to be something. So maybe that type of movie will get me into racing, but sports is seasonal for me. I'm like every other casual sports fan in the world. When it comes about, I get into it. When it's important, I get into it. Of course, the NFL regular season, you're into it the whole time. The college football regular season, you're into it the whole time. NHL regular season, you know, I watch what I can. I don't watch much at all. Not as much as I probably should. And then the postseason happens, and then I watch every game. And then you kind of get a feel. That's just the truth.
Yep.
It's just there's too much to watch. If you want to watch other sports, you have to be a diehard NHL fan to catch everything. Baseball is perfect because baseball is every night. So you could catch a couple games a week casually, pretty easily. But you can't watch every... You have to work hard. I'm an A's fan. I got to work hard to watch games because, you know, 10:05 first pitch.
Of course.
That's hard to watch it. But sports is seasonal, which is why when the softball and the college baseball World Series comes about, I think it's a great time of the year because I think it's when sports needs a little something. You know, this is sort of on the tail end of the postseasons for the NHL, the Stanley Cup, and the NBA. And then you could find a team and get into it. I think that it is a lot of fun, the summer baseball circuit that starts off with the College World Series and the softball and baseball side of things.
And it's almost like you go to the World Series, you see the 8 teams that are in, and then you pick one to follow the whole way.
Right. And it's not
especially with softball, it's double elimination.
Yes.
So it's not like your team is immediately out of it. There's still like hope they can make it through a loser's bracket or something like that. So shout out to College Softball World Series. I like it more than the baseball one. Just because I've had a little bit more, like, my family has liked that one growing up a little bit more. And honestly, I think peak softball, personally, is better than peak baseball, like, when it comes to the game.
Interesting.
I would rather watch a good softball game than a good baseball game.
I disagree with that, but okay, interesting. Wow. So I guess that's, you were kind of nurtured on that, though. That was the thing.
A little bit, but also just personal preference. I think the game is faster. I think the game is more exciting. I like how the dugouts get into the game a little bit more. When you're in that type of close environment, it's closer. So much louder. I like the nice fields. I like the smaller fields. I like a lot of the big plays, fast moving
action.
Yeah. It's simply just personal preference.
Interesting. And a lot of pitches. Like for example, randomly, I haven't watched North Carolina baseball much at all this year. I tuned into the ACC tournament semifinal yesterday against Florida State. Excellent. Excellent game. North Carolina won 7-5. Great game. Now they got the championship today, I believe, against Clemson. All right. I like North Carolina. I'm going to watch North Carolina Clemson today. That's why I think the seasonality of sports is perfect, and it's highlighted at this time of the year. Because football season is football season, and everything is secondary. And that's a 6-7 month period of the year. But once you get into this part, it's seasonal. You get college basketball. It's got its month. Then you get the NBA postseason, I should say. You get the Stanley Cup, which dominate for about 6-7 weeks. And then as you get into the tail end of that, then you start getting into collegiate sports on the spring side getting interesting. Now, I'm not to the point, like, I know the college lacrosse championship is coming up, I believe, in a couple days. There was the semifinals yesterday, Maryland won or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't get into that, but when it's seasonal and you can kind of roll into the next thing,
yes,
it's perfect for a sports fan. I think that's what Memorial Day leans itself into, because you kind of got a little bit of everything sort of rolling on or rolling out or finishing up. And I love that.
For sure.
And for me, today, there's a lot to watch because all the championship games, this is sort of like, I love mid-major championship week in college basketball. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year because it's just like you watch the Northeastern Conference championship in some high school gym and it's fantastic.
Yep.
But today is the championship day for all the conferences on the college baseball side of things. You got about 100 games all day, all on ESPN, and they start at 12 and it goes basically throughout the whole day. I will be watching that. I will be into that. I think this might be, because I know you got the NBA tonight, and you got the NHL, I believe, tonight. Yes. No, I'm wrong about that. Dallas and Edmonton's at 3. Perfect. So I could do 12 o'clock college baseball, 3 o'clock hockey, catch the nightcap college baseball from 6, and then at 8 o'clock, you got your Knicks Pacers.
You got your day already
that
set up.
That is a sports day, Cade. That is a sports day. Are you gonna, now, are you flipping this and you're doing softball instead?
I would probably do... Now, unfortunately, I've got a buddy of mine celebrating his college graduation, so I'm
going to
miss...
Oh, you're going to a graduation today?
Yeah, no, a graduation party.
Oh.
Just celebrating him.
He's much old, better. Much better.
Yeah, old high school buddy of mine. I haven't seen him in a while, so I'm going to go...
driving for it?
Yeah, I'm going to drive up to Orlando for it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What time's the party?
3 o'clock.
Perfect. So yep. This is like a barbecue.
Yeah, for him.
You are doing a barbecue.
Not for Memorial Day. Hold on, hold on.
This completely is Memorial Day weekend.
Completely different conversation.
I'm not listening to this, Cade. You're doing a Memorial Day barbecue. There's going to be burgers. There's going to be hot dogs. You're going to be outdoor seating. Indoor, outdoor. You're going to a barbecue. Mr. I'm not celebrating Memorial Day is celebrating Memorial Day. Wow, Cade. There's nothing wrong with that. That you're going to have a great time, but that is a barbecue. So you're going to do it. You got to let me know how that goes. Let me know if it's too hot.
Oh, it will be.
It will be?
I just do it.
Okay.
I've grown up in this state. You just do it. I was at Disney all day yesterday. I have a ridiculous...
You went to Disney and came back there and back?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you go to Disney?
First of all,
why are you going to Disney on Memorial Day weekend? Aren't you asking for isn't that a death wish for
mines? Wasn't my choice. My wife wanted to go with her buddies and they wanted to drink, so I had to be designated driver.
So they went to Epcot?
Yeah.
Did they drink around the world?
Yeah. It was fun. They had a really good time. And it was very, very high.
Did you go on any lines?
They went on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. They were in that for 90 minutes. I didn't go on that.
So you waited for... So that's the worst. When somebody goes on the ride and you know that they're nowhere near the actual going on the ride, so you're just, walking around?
I did. So the Disney Parks app has a really cool feature where you can go on like this mini scavenger hunt across the different worlds. So I downloaded that app and went on my own mini adventure in all the different countries and then came back and they were out of the ride and then we went up into the
rest of
the stuff.
That probably wouldn't have been my first choice. That's a good way to keep yourself busy. But it's just
I didn't want to eat. We were there at 10 in the morning. I didn't want to go eating that early already.
Yeah. And also, you can't eat like 5 times at Disney.
But it was neat because like there's the way the scavenger hunt was working is like there's a whole bunch of different hidden things in the countries that can only appear unless you're playing the game. So I felt like I was almost controlling Disney. Like there's a water fountain or like there's a waterfall in one of the worlds. The waterfall stops so you can see something behind it. You can only do that if you're actually on the app.
Was it a complete zoo?
No, it wasn't. Because here's the thing. Epic Universe has come out. All the other Disney parks and Universal parks are dead right now because everyone's trying to get over to Epic Universe right now at Universal.
Really?
Yes.
This is not but this is a holiday weekend. Everything's not completely jammed. Did you expect it to be jammed and it wasn't? So you were pleasantly surprised?
So my wife's father works for Disney and he had a little bit of insider where he was still like reservations for different restaurants he knew were still open. So he had a sense beforehand.
So he gave you a little...
The park, he's like, you guys should be fine today. And sure enough, we were.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you lucked out.
We did.
Okay.
We did very well yesterday.
Wow, that because you got to amusement park days are all about counting your wins.
100%. No, we got a couple different rides. We hit all the different worlds. We ate and drank, and it was a really, really good time. It was hot as hell, but
yeah, it was hot.
As far as we were there for about 8 hours, and we hit basically everything you
wanted
to hit.
Did you get there right
Epcot.
When it opened?
Yes. We hit. We got it there opens like 9:15. I think it opens at 9.
Okay.
So we got there right as it opens. Like literally, and here's the thing. I actually felt bad for my wife and her friends because everyone who went in went to the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. So that line was actually the longest right when it opened because everyone who got there had the same idea. An hour and a half later, around the noon, 1 o'clock time, the line was shorter.
You had to go in lunchtime. You got to go to the most popular ride at lunch.
Yes. That was not the thinking originally when we came in.
There's a strategy. There are, and I haven't done amusement parks in a couple, probably a little over a year, maybe a little more than that. But there's a strategy to it. In my opinion, you're there right when it opens. You go to the far side of the park. You haul over there. And then you knock out stuff over there and you work your way back. Instead of doing the close stuff or going to the main attraction, you go to the far part of the park and then you do all the stuff and you work your way towards
ideally,
the front.
I think that would have been the case, but because they wanted to drink around the world, they didn't want to do that at 10 a.m.
How long does that even take?
What?
To drinking around the world? 2 hours?
It doesn't. Well, they just didn't want to drink at 10 a.m. in the morning. Right. That was the problem.
Right. So when did they start that?
We started at around
You also
like
don't
want
to go on rides after you start drinking like that. After,
yeah, so we started around the 2 o'clock hour. Because we had some other things there in the front, had some lunch, and then they started doing it.
Okay.
So we started like the 2 o'clock hour. We left at like 5.
Wow. So that was a successful day then.
100%.
Okay. Interesting. I thought going to Disney this weekend would be like, oh
no,
my
but when
God.
when you're a Floridian hanging out with a bunch of other Floridians, it's like.
No, I'm not talking about even the weather, but I just, the crowds. You got to go in off season or when the crowds are not going to be as bad. I guess this technically counts as off season, but it is a holiday weekend.
No, it's a holiday weekend. We all expected it to be busy, but Epic Universe is literally pulling that much attention.
And that was this is the first weekend it's open though, right?
To the general public, yes.
Okay. Kate Chums and Colin Russo, we got to make some picks. We got a lot to choose from in terms of some games to pick. So we'll blitz the book on the flip side, send you off into your Memorial Day weekend. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3.
Daisy's right, Soli, Blitz right, Travolta right, Pumpkin left, Alert Charlotte left, 0-1.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle, Hard Rock Bet, ESPN 106.3. That's Cade Chumsen. I am Colin Russo. We're for live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, a May the 25th edition of the program, Memorial Day weekend. A lot to look forward to, a lot to sprinkle some action on. If you're looking to bet a couple games, Hard Rock Bet is the app to go to. Go download today in the Google Play Store, Apple App Store, or go to hardrock.bet online to get started. Hard Rock's the best because it caters to both types of players. Both ends of the spectrum, they got you covered. If you're the brand new player, don't really know how to operate within a sports book, well, the app interface is very simple. And you could go to different bets, you could go to different games, go to different leagues. It's easy, it's accessible, and it's easy to kind of acclimate and understand quickly. That was me a couple months ago. That can be you as well. If you're the experienced better and you want a lot out of your sports book, well, they have you covered as well because they honestly, it's a deep rabbit hole to find out what you could bet, how you could bet it, how you could parlay it, promo boosts, profit boosts, little games, comparisons, and taking advantage of good lines on the Discover page. They got you covered there as well. And you get $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. It's Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Considered by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. All right, Kate, I think it's time for us. We got a lot to choose from, so we got a lot to get to. It's time for us to blitz the book with our pals over at Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the book with Hard Rock Bet. Kate and I will pull up the app, and we're going to make some picks against the spread, win or lose. You name it, we got a lot to choose from. Kate, let's start with the easy ones, and let's take this Knicks-Pacer game tonight. The Knicks are +2. What say you here? On the road, game 3, Pacers, Knicks.
I'm going to trust that Halliburton means what he says, but they're going to come out in game 3 and not take their foot off the gas pedal. I am going to go with the Pacers, -2.
I've been a Pacers guy all postseason. I do think the Knicks are going to win today. There's got to be a game where something is going to roll their way. And offensively, maybe it's going to be one of those quiet games from Indiana. It's going to happen to everybody. I do think Indiana will play well. I think this would be a very tight game, but I do think the Knicks are going to take game 3. So that's what I'll take there. All right, Cade, the NHL. We got Dallas and Edmonton today. at the Stars on the road in Edmonton, a plus 135 to win. Series tied 1-1. What do you say here?
I'm going to go with the Stars at plus 135 outright.
I agree. I think it's good value there.
Yeah, for sure. This is going to be, I have this going 7.
Yes.
You talk about a Dallas Stars team that is all offense, essentially, and an Edmonton team that has a whole lot of good defense, plus some ridiculously good player by the name of
Connor McDavid.
So this could go very, very deep, but I'm going to go with the Stars on this one.
Yeah, it seems like Edmonton's hyper-focused defensively. They've been very, very good as of late. But for me, I think that this will be a hard-fought, back-and-forth series where I don't know how much it matters whether a team is home or away. Because that's how good I think both these teams are.
Yep.
And I think everybody's sort of just lining up to get their chance at Florida, trying to repeat. I'm going to take Dallas just because of the value. I do think they're going to split the next two. I'm not sure whether they'll be this game or game four. But I'm going to take the Stars plus 135 as well. Let's jump to the Indy 500, Cade. And the Indy 500, we have just to win. We'll keep it simple. What say you here?
I'm going to go with Robert Schwartzman. Do I have any idea what his season's been like? No. But I do know, after doing a minute amount of research this morning, is that quite a few of the last Indy 500 winners have come from the starting position of double digits. I don't know where Schwartzman is starting today, but I know that getting a guy at plus 850 might have more value than a lot of other people think.
Joseph Newgarden is plus 900. This guy won 2023 and 2024.
Yep.
Plus 900. I love a three-peat. Give me that. Good odds.
Might as well.
If he hasn't had a good season, that doesn't matter. This is it. Plus 900. I think that's very good odds for a guy who's won back-to-back.
Speaking of racing, mind if I give you some breaking news out of Monaco? F1 literally just finished seconds ago.
Okay.
Lando Norris takes the victory, but that's not the surprising part. During our break a second ago, I checked on the leaders because I knew the race was going on and I wanted to give people an update. Lap 77 of 78, Max Verstappen had a few seconds of a lead.
What happened there?
He finished in fourth. I don't know. I turned the phone off.
You think it was a car issue?
Had to have been, because Max Verstappen just finished in fourth after he had the lead on the second to last lap. I turned my phone off.
You don't have a couple second lead and screw that up without a mechanical issue.
I have no idea what just happened, but Lando Norris, your F1 winner in Monaco. Wow.
Wow, so Max Verstappen went into the final lap with a couple second lead and then
just finished fourth.
Finished in fourth.
With like a 20 behind by like 20 seconds. So something happened where he either hit a wall or got tripped up by someone behind him. I'm not sure where Norris was on that second to last lap, but I just wanted to get a quick update on my phone. And then I turned it off because we were coming out of break. And then just check the final leaderboard, and Lando Norris just won the thing.
You know what the problem
is? Wild.
You know what the problem is? F1 is such a worldwide sport. You go up on Twitter, you look up Max Verstappen to try to get an understanding of what happened, and there's about 17 different languages of people reacting to whatever the heck's going on. So I got nothing for you. But he finished in fourth. How about that? With Leclerc in second and Piastri in third.
Yeah.
Interesting. Lewis Hamilton finished fifth. All right, interesting. So the F1 Monaco is done, and I'm taking Joseph Newgarden, and you're taking, remind me again?
Robert Schwartzman.
You're taking Schwartzman. All right, interesting. All right, so let's jump. Let's do a little baseball and softball. I want you to take a softball. I will both take a softball game. So how about we start there?
No softball.
There's no softball.
Just checked it on the Hard Rock.
There's not. Yeah, I'm surprised by that. Okay, NCAA baseball. I know what I'm going with.
Come on, Hard Rock. Let's get on the girls' action here.
North Carolina Clemson ACC Championship. It's at 12. I'm going to take North Carolina. And you know what? I like runs. 11 and a half runs. Give me the over. Give me the runs.
Big time stuff.
Show me some offense.
I'm going to go easy on this one. I have not been following college baseball as much as I probably should have. I'm just going to go with the SEC tournament victor, Vandy over Ole Miss, minus 170 straight up. Vandy ranked number 9 in the country. Ole Miss, I believe, is around the 13 mark right now, or the 21 mark right now, somewhere in the teens. Ole Miss has obviously had an amazing history. I believe they won it last year or 2 years ago. Vandy has won it recently as well. Two of the powerhouses in college baseball, but I think Vandy's got the little bit of an edge.
Yeah, and the thing about college baseball, you get in this time of the year. Unless you're a diehard, you're not, you know, you don't watch that. There's too much going on. And if you want to have it on with seven other screens, you're not ingesting it. You're not actually taking in what is going on. All right, so we got that. All right, Kate, let's take a WNBA game for today because we got a full slate of games.
We do.
And there's four games today. The Connecticut Sun, Atlanta Dream, Vegas Aces, Seattle Storm, Chicago Sky, Los Angeles Sparks.
How about those games yesterday? Did you check up on that that New York-Indiana game yesterday?
No, I did not.
My goodness. Caitlin Clark goes off in the third quarter. Liberty come back in the fourth quarter. Caitlin Clark one-on-one, and she got locked up.
Wow.
Liberty win it. They're 4-0 now on the season. My pick, by the way, preseason.
Interesting. Clark's the best player in the league, by the way.
Yeah, she's
the best player.
Asia Wilson, her. You can pick between the two.
Right. You know what I like? I'm going to take the team that plays out of Mohegan Sun, Uncasville, Connecticut. The Connecticut Sun plus 375 to win today against the Atlanta Dream.
Straight up outright.
They must stink.
Straight up outright.
Plus 375.
Spread's 9.5.
They might stink. 9.5 in WNBA. They must stink. I'm taking the Connecticut Sun today, plus 375.
I'm not high on the Chicago Sky right now. They are 1-2 on the season.
Yeah,
Los Angeles Sparks. Kelsey Plum has been doing wonders for them. So I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Sparks. I'll take the spread, minus 5.5.
I got a five-leg parlay here, plus 40,000, thanks to the Connecticut Sun.
That definitely helped.
Plus 40,000. I get the Knicks plus 2. The Stars to win outright. Joseph Newgarden to win the Indy 500. Over 11.5 runs between Clemson and North Carolina in college baseball. And the Connecticut Sun to win outright against the Atlanta Dream. Cade, you ready? This is going to be a winning.
You're going to put what? $1 on it? $5 on it?
If I put 20 bucks, I get $8,000 if I win. We'll see. That's Cade Chums, and I'm Colin Russo as we send you off into the remaining part of your Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. Appreciate everybody coming aboard. Hope everybody enjoys their weekend, whether it's outdoors, indoors, you name it, watching sports, you name it. This has been Colin Russo, Cade Chums, and saying so long on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet, right here on ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.